Take your Bibles, if you would please, today and open up to Psalm chapter number 12 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 12 in the Word of God today. And as you find your place here in Psalm chapter number 12, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter number 12. And as you find your place here, would you please stand with me if your health allows you to today, Psalm chapter number 12. Today's passage of Scripture is going to be a little bit different with it being Father's Day, going to be somewhat topical here today. But we have been in a series entitled A Journey Through the Psalms and looking at different psalms, applying them to our lives. And we find our place here in Psalm chapter number 12. And I want us to look at verse number 1. And here's where we'll be just today. And we're going to come back to this passage here in just a couple of weeks. But I want to look at Psalm chapter 12. And verse number 1, look what the Bible says here. Watch what the psalmist writes. It says this: Help, Lord. Now, Christian, have you ever been there? You ever call out like that? Wow. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. This morning I want to look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message simply entitled, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, there's no doubt we've all cried out like this. Help, Lord. Lord, we're asking that once again today. Lord, we need your help. Father, I just ask now, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say. That, Father, you would give me the process, the verses, the illustrations, the energy to preach what thus saith the Lord. God, the subject that we're about to deal with is so amazing how applicable it is to the life that we're living right now in 2021. Father, I just ask, Lord, that nothing that is said today be said in the flesh, but God, it would come directly from your word. And Father, I ask, Lord, as we're going to approach this subject, that our boys and our men, our college students, that this gender, the male gender, would get what we need today. Father, it's not to say that the females are excluded, Lord, from this message. God, we need prayer warriors on every front. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that our prayer would be right now. God, give me what I need. Lord, I ask, Savior, as we walk out these exits today, that we would be more like you. We love you, Savior. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, the psalmist begins to beg God for help. There's no men here in this passage of Scripture really that he could put his trust in. It's really amazing the wording here, how the godly man ceaseth. The man who loves God, the man who is encouraged by the things of God, the man who is moral, the man who understands his role as a father, his role as a male, his role as a man who is going to put and place all things that God has in his life first above all other things. That man, the psalmist said, is going away. That man is beginning to not exist anymore. That man is going to be hard to find. And isn't it amazing, in 2021, we almost could write those exact words. Lord, in America, we need your help. The godly man ceaseth. You see, there's a big difference in the way that men act today. When talking about the roles of a man, the roles that we have as the male figure, it almost amazes me at how far out of context now that has become, how blurry it has become at something that God has set up, something as simple as the roles for a man, how twisted it has become today. It is really amazing to me, and please understand that as I say some of this, I am not in the flesh at all today. In fact, I'm feeling pretty good. I was able to teach Sunday school this morning. Pastor Ann, thank you for the opportunity. We had a great time in that class, and I feel like it got me kind of ready to preach today. But understand, I'm not saying what I'm about to say at all in the flesh, but there are some things that I really believe need to be said. So every high school student, man, every college student, men, as we're raising kids, grandfathers, I want you to tune in for just a second. We are living in a generation where men no longer understand the simple roles that we are to carry out as fathers. It was just 2 weeks ago I met a man, and witnessing to him, he would not take a track, and definitely by the looks of him looked like he was very opposite of all things God, but nonetheless, I'm trying to invite him to church. I'm trying to witness to him, and it was very, very just blunt that he wanted nothing to do with me or Cross Point Baptist Church or even God. And so I went around another direction. I just began to ask him about life, and I began to ask him about what is he doing? And he finished high school. Did you go to college? No, not in college. And so what are you doing now? Well, I've got a son. And I said, oh man, that's great. I got a son too. His name's Tom, 11 years old. And just begin to try to break down these walls a little bit. But the amazing thing about that that young man at 22 years of age, he has no education, which again, I'm not busting on that at all. But here's a man who has a child out of wedlock, 22 years of age, and has no job. I began to ask him about his job. And here he is, and I quote what he told me. Why would I go get a job for minimum wage when I have food stamps and collecting a check? I'm making more just being at home. True story, friend. This is not, I'm not Fox News or CNN today. I'm telling you the conversation that I had with a young man that is so confused in the United States of America that he feels like his role is to sit at home and play Xbox and PlayStation and raise a child with no mother. And why would I get a job? Why would I go work for minimum wage? Why would looking at me as if I'm the foolish one. Maybe as I'm looking at it like, man, maybe I am stupid. But understand this, we have gotten to a place in America, we don't understand, the younger generation coming up, they don't understand work. They don't understand what it means to be a fatherly figure. They don't understand what it means to go and to hit and to support your family and to support a wife and to be an example. And they're not comprehending. Understand, that's just the simple things, but we're really raising this generation where we don't have spiritual leaders in the home anymore, and we don't have the head of the wife anymore, and we don't have the glory for its children, and we don't have loving grandfathers and taking care of grandchildren and praying for them. Let me just put it this way, just as kind of, just buckle your seatbelts here for a moment, but I'm kind of putting it this way. We have totally lost the concept of what a father is. We've lost it. Is this super uplifting today? Did you just love this? No, but I told my wife, I'm going to say some things today that I feel like, and I've prayed about and fasted about, God needs to be heard today. We got to hear it. So you pray for me today. Now, before you sit back, and all the ladies in here are like, yeah, buddy, preacher, come on, man, let them have it. Let them have it. My husband's here today, Father's Day. It's been a little while, but aren't you glad you came, honey? Now, wait a minute, before you just jump on this bandwagon, let me put it this way. We all need to hear what's about to be preached. This is not to say, ladies, you know, no matter what life stage you're in, you know, Katie about to get married, or Carrie been married for 15 years, or for other Mrs. Titus, you know, married for many, many years, Mrs. Defoe. It doesn't matter what life stage you're in. If you want to get something from God today, he's going to give it to us. Now, I know for those who are in the room today, you know, Gavin and DJ and others, they're thinking, well, you know, I'm not really a dad, you know, per se just yet. Now listen very carefully. Understand that the concept of the male or the word father is not only given to the identity of biological kinship, at times it's given a title given to those who establish something important. perhaps even like George Washington, the father of our nation, Herodotus, the father of history, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, Adam is called the father of the human race. So even though we're going to deal with fathers this morning, I want us to comprehend that even as my son and David sit right up front here, gentlemen, I want us to, just for a little while, address us as men. Now, I know what the world is saying today. I don't think that the world is more woke by trying to come up with more definitions or there's more than just male and female. God in His Word is very specific that He created male and He created female, Adam and Eve. And look, are we smarter than God? No. So you want to add more names? Fine. But I'm just going to approach it in a biblical manner that we have, excuse me, friend, male and female. If you agree with that today, say amen. Outside of that context, friend, we are dabbling in something I feel like is outside of the context of God's Word, and you and I had better be vitally important, very careful, let me put it that way. Friend, I'm going to approach this in several ways today and through several subjects. That again, Brother Josh, no matter where we're at in our life of raising families or for those of you who have raised kids, I want us to address men today. So gentlemen, I want you for a moment to please don't take this as Pastor Shepherd, but I want us to pray as men, including myself and as individuals, that this would define us as men. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. God, I want to address you for a moment, and I'm asking you right here at Cross Point Baptist Church to give us men who are godly. How do we have men, or how as men should we act? What is the need of the day? Well, first of all, there is a real need. If you're taking notes this morning, would you write this down? For strong men. For strong men. I thank the Lord for women. I thank the Lord for my wife. But God never intended the woman, now listen, to compete with the man. God intended the woman to complete the man. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, watch the wording here, be strong. If there was ever a day and age where we need men to be strong, not ruling with an iron fist, but leading with a godly spirit, that day is today. Gentlemen, if you agree with that, would you say amen this morning? The day is now. The world wants to give us men, now watch very carefully, who are feminine. There's this saying today, I even saw it on a t-shirt, unfortunately, down in South Carolina several months ago on vacation, and this t-shirt said, release your feminine side. And it was worn by a man, I'm pretty sure. And as I looked at it, I just thought, to be honest with you, I don't want to release my feminine side. I'm not in the Word of God ever compelled to release something that God did not give me. Understand this. God is just miraculous in the way that He designed things. Care, can I use you for a second? Understand this, that this, everybody ready for this? And overflow, we'll go right here. Understand, this is my feminine side. Somebody help me out. Amen? God gave me her. Release your feminine side. I'm just telling you, get married. And I'm just saying, God has done it. This works, friend. This is not to be at contention or competition with each other. This is not me saying, well, that's right, woman. Yeah, preach up there, preacher. This is where we are. No, what God did is God created male and female, husband and wife, to work with each other. Amen. This works. We get outside of the context thinking that two females or two males works. Friend, I'm just saying today, not only is that an abomination and a sin, it does not work. But what God created, God knows best. What we need today, thanks so much, Garrett, what we need today, gentlemen, is strong men. We need men today that will take a stand for what's right. We need men to come out and not follow what's politically correct. What we need is there's got to be some men today, with like this verse says here, to be strong. It used to be a generation that you wouldn't mind jumping in a foxhole with. And there used to be a generation of men that were tough and they were strong and they stood on principles and they weren't going to back down and they believed the word of God and no one was going to stop them and no one was going to stand in their way. It reminds you of an 80-year-old in the word of God that said, you know what, I want that mountain. And he went up and he conquered it. And friend, in Christianity, that's what we used to have, is men raising their sons and raising their grandsons to be strong in the power of Jesus Christ Almighty. For we got to get back to that. Raising a son right now, and then we had four girls, and it's not too long ago. Tommy, I hope you don't mind me telling the story, but it was a couple years ago, so don't be embarrassed. Isn't it funny, Pastor Foe and so many others, when we start talking about our families? I was not a preacher's kid, but I know, Pastor Blake, being a preacher's kid, did you ever just get scared, like, oh no, he's going to tell that story again? Carrie, you were probably there, weren't you? I bet. Pastor Dan, where are you at? Did you ever get scared when your dad started preaching on the family? A little nerve-wracking. I'm not going to embarrass my family today, but I'm going to tell you just a story that we had four girls, and Carrie, I got home, and whatever happened with Tommy, this is back when we lived in West Virginia, Carrie just said, hey, he needs to go outside and play some basketball, and you know, she's kind of winking at me like, he needs to be, you know, basically it means like, you need to rough him up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Make it tough. Oh, sign me up, baby. So I take Tommy outside. And Tommy's going to basketball camp. And I said, Tommy, you're going to basketball camp. Look, there's some things you need to learn. You know, you got to learn how to box out. You got to learn. But I'm thinking, Carrie told me, rough this kid up. Make him a man. Amen. So we're playing basketball. And Coach Schellenberg, where are you at? You're in here. Coach, don't you feel like the older we get, we can't keep up with the younger Austins and Aarons? So what do? We just foul harder, don't we? Amen. We just use our mind. You're going to be scared of me, kid. You won't go up against me. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, so I take Tommy out, and I'm like, you're going to go to basketball camp, so you got to learn. And I'm pushing him, and I'm backing him down. He's just a little 5-year-old. I'm backing him down and knocking him out of the way. I'm teaching, oh, kid, you're going to know. You know, you're going to get this. And I'm just beating up on him. Finally, true story. Tommy said, Dad, I think you need to go to basketball camp. Yeah, touche, kid. You got me on that one. Nonetheless, we need to raise young men to be men. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of them own selves. Does that not remind you of today? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Holy, check the wording out here, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce despisers of those that are good. Ever remind you, today, nobody likes anything that's good. They despise us as Christians, traitors, heady, high-minders, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. My friend, we have lost the natural affection today. Understand that God is coming back. Why? Because we understand and comprehend that the day we live in is we've lost the natural affection of male and female and feminism, being a mom and a loving wife and a man leading in a godly way that's working together. Understand what we need today. We need men who are strong. Gentlemen, this is no time to back down. Our families are worth fighting for. This country is worth fighting for. It's time that you and I stand up for what's right and what's godly. I'm afraid, and this is the truth, Brother Miller, I'm afraid that the outside world is beginning to affect what goes on inside of here. We've almost become afraid of, well, Pastor, you better not say that because, you know, somebody might get offended, and don't preach on that because I've got somebody here tonight and they struggle with that. Can I just tell you, friend, the Word of God is offensive. Why? Because it's holy and it's pure and it's not, it has never been wrong. It's inerrant. It's inspired. And friend, when you and I dig into it, you and I ought to be strong in standing in it. Standing for it. The very Word of God. His Word. The day and age we live in, Brother Jim, it's weird. But we want to go pray at a rally or pray somewhere. And you know what they tell us? Listen, you can pray, but don't put any prayer in there that might be offensive. Can I just tell you, friend, the name Jesus Christ is offensive to the lost world. And if you think for one second this old boy's going to take Jesus Christ out of a prayer, you've got another thing coming. You may never ask me back to pray, but I'm going to stand upon principles and upon God, and I'm not going to be ashamed of him, and I'm not going to be afraid of him. The world may be offended, but friend, you and I ought to be offended. Every time they take our Lord's name in vain, we ought to be offended. Every time they try to take him out of the pledge, we ought to be offended. Every time they splash his name through the mud, the very God that sent his only begotten son to die for you and I. Friend, may I tell you, you and I ought to take a stand. You and I ought to step up and say, look, you can believe that way, but friend, that way will lead you directly to hell. Well, that's offensive. Let me tell you something, friend. I'd rather offend you right now than to have your blood on my hands one day. Strong men is what we need. Strong men. Would to God we'd have some men. And maybe you don't have kids. But step up to the plate and be an example to those who are coming up. I praise the Lord for Cross Point Baptist School and the men that we have in our that are there, that are an example and that love these kids. But let me put it this way. Not every kid that comes to this church or this school has a dad that is strong and loves the Lord and has him in Sunday school. There's people that go to this school that their dad's in prison or cares nothing about God or was too drunk to bring him to Sunday school this morning. Well, that's just so sad. No, it is sad, but really instead of just sitting back and just being all worried and down and out, why don't you and I be the example to them we need to be? If that makes sense today, say amen. We can love them. We can love them. We need strong men, but secondly, would you write this down? There is a real need for praying men. Praying. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There's a real need today in our nation for prayer warriors. Prayer in our closets, prayer in our homes, prayer in our churches. The greatest power in heaven and earth is available through prayer. Through prayer, we can cast down our strongholds and we can overcome temptations and we can outlast our enemies and we can uphold our families and we can deliver our nation and we can remove our obstacles and mountains. Jesus was a praying man. The Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. I'm going to ask us, men, what's our prayer life like? Are we coming to church expecting God to work in our lives? I'm just trying to, Pastor didn't really bring anything today. Boy, song service really didn't really give me anything today. Boy, I didn't really get what I needed today. Do we blame it on everyone else or friend? Are we coming on bended knee asking God, God, give me something today? Gentlemen, we complain a lot. We do. I know at times we like to pick on our wives or pick on the females. Why they complain? Well, you know, just, I am one, so I can say it. Look, guys, we're moody too. Wow, it's getting awful quiet and uncomfortable in here. Kara, I guess I'm the only one. I tell you, at times, we're up and down. You can't tell me, men, that it's just our wives that complain. We complain too. We watch the news for 5 minutes, we complain. We cannot, Brother George, we can't watch one basketball game without complaining about the other team. Nope, the coach. Nope, the referees. I mean, we just hate referees. Ah, we don't want that game. The old referees. We complain. We love to complain. Let me tell you, we complain about our country and our nation and our families. We complain because we're not seeing revival in our land. But gentlemen, I'm afraid we will never see revival in our marriages, in our homes, in our grandchildren, in our churches, until we decide as men to once again hit our knees and be men that are known for praying. I'm afraid for this next generation of young men coming up. Let me do this. If you're 18 years and younger, would you please stand for just a moment? No, college or high school, doesn't matter. If you're 18 years of age or younger and you're a man, would you stand up? Men, stand up for just a moment. Young men, 18 years of age or older. We have one, two, three. We have two that aren't standing up. You guys can stand up too. You can stand up. It's okay. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Love to, there's too many to count in here, but understand this. Listen, gentlemen, guys, men, look up here. I'm afraid that we're going to fail this next generation that's coming up. We're going to fail them. The DJs, the Lukes, the Gavins, the Austins, the Bens. I'm afraid we're going to fail them. Brother Matt, you know how we're going to fail them? Brother Josh, you know how we're going to fail them? By not getting on our knees and praying for them. We'll fail them. This young man, TJ, come right up here for a second. I think you got mad at me because I called you TJ one of the first weeks I'm here. Y'all laughed at me, and you didn't think I knew, but I knew what you were laughing at, and I forgive you. Anyways, you know, DJ, no matter his personality, if God gets inside of this man, do you realize he could turn all of Marion County upside down by himself? You believe that? Say amen today. DJ. All the students there are like, oh, Pastor, you don't know DJ very well. You know, in school, he's, you know, and on the basketball court, he missed that three-pointer. I don't know if you missed it or not, but listen. Put it this way. When the world looked at the disciples, they thought they were ignorant, unlearned, uneducated men. And yet they turned the world upside down. The world will look at this man and say, oh, he believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. And he goes to church 3 times a week. And he can't go to ball practice because it's on a Wednesday. And they may laugh at this man. But when God gets in him, you better watch out. When a young person gets on fire for God, people will come from miles around to see him burn. Let it start with us, gentlemen. Pastor Chris, let it start with us on our knees praying for this next generation. Because while our generation, DJ, we're fighting over, like, you know, blue suit versus black suit and white shirt versus this shirt and this song written by this person. Can I just tell you? You know what their fight's going to be? Authorities coming in and telling him he has to let his 2-year-old choose what gender they are. His generation is going to be dealing with, and mark my words, and I won't get into it, but I'll be very careful, but they'll be dealing with pedophilia and bestiality and a bunch of really gross stuff that'll all be legal. That's what they'll be fighting. That'll never happen. Friend, it's coming. You know what this man needs? Well, he needs a, you know, a good job in church and good job wearing the teal shirt today, and that's good. You know, do you know what this man needs? He needs us on our knees, gentlemen, begging God to get all over this man, because he's going to need it. He's going to need it. Young guys in here today, TJ, thanks so much. Don't be seated just yet. Young guys in here today, let me put it this way. Listen, Miguel, others, Tommy, just look, Austin, you guys, Don't think of this message as like, well, it'll come one day. No, it's right now. But Piper, you've got to be strong now. This isn't tomorrow or 3 years from now. We need you right now. Somebody help me out. Amen. Amen. Will, you're hilarious, and I love your spunkiness, and you're a great guy, and you're funny, and you got jokes. But let me just tell you, jokes will only get you so far in life, my friend. You know what you need? You need God all over your life. You need God all over you. You're the next leader. You're the next preacher. You're the next pastor. You're the next missionary. You, friend, you by yourself can do great things for God. If you believe that, say amen. We believe that. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? With all my heart, I believe that. With all my heart. See, what we need today, thanks guys so much, we need today is we need strong men. We need men, families that are hitting our knees. But I want you to write this down. Number three, would you write this down? There's a real need for worshiping men. Worshiping men. Men who are not ashamed to publicly worship. Throughout the Bible is a list of men over and over with examples of them declaring their love for God and passionate worship. Throughout the Bible. And today we need men that will stand and declare what great things the Lord has done for them. What we need today is men who will sing with all their hearts and give a praise the Lord or perhaps even an amen every once in a while. We need men like David who danced before the Lord with all his might and girded himself with the linen ephod. And David went to the house of Israel, and when they brought up the ark, he was shouting with a sound of trumpet and worshiping God. And friend, what I'm saying today is this, is that we've got a generation of young people that are being brought up, and they're being brought up thinking it's not cool to sing, and it's not cool to sing and play an instrument, and it's not cool to come to church, and oh, you can be that over there, and oh, that's okay, that's not for me. But I'm here to tell you today, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in God, then what we need is men today that are not afraid to worship, men today that will get off, I'm talking about grown men in their 20s and 30s, and will get off their PlayStations and get back in church and have their families there and quit spending so much time on ESPN and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and grow up in God for a little while and get back to worshiping Him. And friend, I've said it before and before, over and over again, and I'm just going to keep on preaching it. We could get so excited over so many things, whether it be a basketball game or baseball or cheerleading or Kate Spade or Michael Kors or hunting or fishing. Let me tell you, we get excited about a lot of things. Would to God we'd have some people right here in this church that get excited and raise a hand and is happy and joyful and rejoicing that you and I serve a God that is still seated on the throne. Would to God we'd have some Christians today and stop getting so excited about, well, Battlefield Earth, I made it really far and I'm on level 39. Friend, why don't you put all that garbage aside for a little bit and let's get back in the Word and get excited about what God is doing in our country and what God is doing with our youth group and what God is doing with the very men like DJ and Will and others, Gavin, that stood up. Would to God you and I would get excited about what excites God. You know that. Last night, if you watched the NBA basketball game, you might not be into it. This is not, you know, let's fight back and forth. I'm just saying. If you watched the game last night, it went to overtime. Kevin Durant hit it, drained it. Pretty exciting. They go into overtime. It's a good game. This is just going into the Eastern Conference Finals. But can I tell you, whether it was your team or not, it is very exciting when somebody dribbles down the court, 3, 2, 1, they just throw it up, and the basket goes in. Isn't that exciting? Oh, it gives you chill bumps. Wow, yes. Remember the miracle on ice, some of you that were born back in, you know, Moses' day, and you remember when they're, I'm just kidding with you, and they're playing hockey, and man, remember the miracle on ice when we beat, was it the Russians, is that correct, Russians? Thank you very much. And beat the Russians, yeah, USA, USA, we're all excited, man, it's wonderful, and it was great, and man, we just get excited. Can I just tell you, maybe you got excited over a political leader winning.
You get excited at a birthday. You got excited today because your kids or grandkids ran in with a card and just say, I say, all that combined, you know what the angels in heaven are doing? Oh, who won? Oh, cool. But do you know when one soul gets saved, all of heaven goes crazy? Oh, it's not a, oh, they got saved. That's wonderful. Great. Quiet as a church mouse. Gabriel, did you hear so-and-so got saved? Yes, brother, I did. That's wonderful. Uh-oh. Went to meddling, didn't we? They rejoice. Oh, they rejoice. And gentlemen, if we are more excited about a basketball game, or we're more excited about playing Halo, or more excited about Fortnite than we are Genevieve coming up here, whatever, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and coming up here and her getting baptized in these waters, and a little girl saying, I've been saved, and I just want to show everybody the uniform that I'm putting on is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that little girl being baptized to come up, and we all sit there, and oh man, On the Border's going to get packed now, and good grief, wish we could get that over with. I'm just here to tell you, friend, we are in mighty big trouble when you and I are rejoicing more over a basketball, baseball, college football game than we are a small child that has given their life to Jesus. Friend, shame on us. What we need today is men that will come in and not be ashamed to pick up a hymn book when the stinking screens aren't working and sing out for God. And what we need today is men that get excited about gentlemen like DJ and others like Gavin who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need today is men who will be worshiping and excited about Jordan and Paige, who are going to hazard their life for the Lord Jesus Christ on a foreign mission field in Africa that right now is not the safest place to be. God, would you make us just rejoice and once again worship you like we ought to? Because you know what he can do? No, true story. You know what he can do? Bring milk on. Here's what he can do. He could just make the rocks cry out. Didn't that make you feel good? Oh, you don't want to worship me? You know that little rock sitting over there? I could make them cry out and worship me. Friend, what's holding us back? What's holding us back? What we need today, would you write this down? We need strong, praying, worshiping, but we also need faithful men. Faithful. What I'm about to say, I hope no one takes offense to, but I wrote it down. The Holy Spirit, I believe truly, is in this. We need men who are faithful to their wives. We need men to get off of pornography and get back to the Bible. We need young men to stop being so obsessed with YouTube and to start being obsessed with the things of God. Gentlemen, we need men who are faithful to the Word of God, faithful to their families. Gentlemen, I'm not picking on anybody today, but I'm just here to tell you, it is a shameful world that we live in when the mom is getting up and getting all the kids ready and basically having to beg the husband or the dad or the grandfather to go to church. I'm just here, friend, shame on us. That's our responsibility. Get up. Get in the Word. Turn off the TV. Break the phone if you have to. But it is time that we as men get back to being faithful. It was Paul that said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me and hath counted me, look at the wording here, faithful, putting me into the ministry. Men, this is our time. It's our time on Father's Day
to stop letting society and culture and politically correctness and wokeism and media and Hollywood and Facebook scare us into being what God has created us to be. He created me a male. He created me a father. He created me a husband. He created me a pastor. He created me a spiritual leader. Friend, God forbid I ever get to the place where I am ashamed of what God has created me to be and for me to do. Somebody say amen right there. It's our time. Well, that sounds good, preacher, but you know, I'm just not of the family tree that's really got that fight in me. You know, you don't really know my wife. Well, to be honest with you, Pastor, I'm just not married. You know, I've only been saved for a little while. If you're saved, men, if you're saved today, would you say amen? Then come on. Be strong. I'm tired of generations before us. I'm tired of generations before us calling us weak and feeble and lazy. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's weak Christianity that says, well, that's not my fight. Well, I wasn't really created to do that. Well, I didn't have a great example. Well, I'm just not good at it. No, no, no. Christians, we just need to sit back and relax. And, you know, we're not really made for a battlefield, be strong kind of stuff. Excuse me, soldier. Excuse me, soldier. The Bible says, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If there was ever a day, if there was ever a place, if there was ever a culture that needed you and I on the battlefield called life, men, that time is today. Stand fast in the Lord. Quit ye like men. Stand fast in the Lord. Quit ye like men. Stand fast in the Lord. Quit ye like men. Be strong, men. You and I simply cannot stick our heads in the sand. This is our battle. This is our fight. This is our time. This is our job. This is our stance. This is our life. This is our family. That is our God. Friend, it's time you and I became the men that God created us to be. Men, are you with me today? Say amen. Do you know what we're going to do? Let's put it in action. Oh, I know I should have said amen. Too late. Too late. DJ, come here one more time. I'm almost done. Those of you who check your watch. Ah, it's only 11:40. Dude, plenty of time. Come on up here, DJ. You want to preach for us? We got a little bit of time. No, you're good. Okay. So we can say, man, Brother Harvey, we can be all into it. Wow, that's a good message. Wives, moms, grandmothers. Yeah, preacher, that's good. That's an old-timey preaching we just love. I just tell you, look, preaching's good, but what are we going to do about it? See, I can sit up here, DJ, and I can preach it, and something might hit you and it helps you, but it might be a little. I'm sure you're hungry, you're a growing man, and you know lunch is coming up, and you're going to head wherever. Where are you eating today, do you know? You're eating at home, mom's good cook, grandma's great cook. I'm going to go to your house, because I'm going to go home and eat. But what's really going to impact this man, Pastor Dan, is us doing what we just amened. What if Dane, what if Dirk, what if Brother Ted, what if Brother Eric, what if we put into practice, Brother Moore, what if we put into practice what we just amened? I wonder what would happen to this place, Brother Tom. What happened? If it wasn't just our families that saw us, amen, and it wasn't just DJ sitting there, Brother Matt, and you know, that's good and that's great. What if this young man, Brother Jim, saw us leave our seats and get on our knees and call out to God? How much more would that impact this man, Austin? That we're not just going to sit there and amen, that was great, hurry up, the game's coming on. Got to get into it. You know, Braves are under 500 now. Hurry up. Let's go. No. What if just for a minute, men, we stopped worrying about time and started on our knees. And then we took home and we actually started being praying, worshiping strong, faithful men in the house. Do you know how much more that would impact this man? DJ, it'd impact you a lot, wouldn't it? Do you know what DJ needs to see?
He needs to see real men. Real men. Not playing around. Not playing Christianity, playing God like Mario Kart. No, he needs to see men setting a foundation for him so that when you and I are long gone, if God tarries, he has the strength and the ability under what's probably going to look like a very different government to keep raising his hands and worshiping the God that created him. To raise children, to love God, to be soul winners. That's what this man needs. Sean, where does it start? It starts with me and you. Gentlemen, it starts with us. Guys, I'm going to ask you to, if your health will allow you to join me up here at the altar today. Gathered around men like this. Matt, come up and pray beside him. Bathe him in prayer. Because we need men. And this is the next generation. They need us.